I inadvertently hurt her feelings deeply by sharing my opinions forcefully on a matter I did not realize had become sensitized. Further, I had expressed concern which was quite misunderstood to be a criticism. When I realized how insensitive I had been, I apologized, but it was too late. She did not believe me, feeling I had been far too critical. This brought me up against my nature, which is that of a far better construe a life critic and sounder of principles than blind supporter. I knew this about myself already. I could see it was my opinions which hurt this woman, not to ally myself as a person but my belief system. Belief systems will not always be useful to share. I needed to wait to be asked. That's the lesson here, wait to be asked to share an opinion. I rest instead in the best forgiveness and silence I know to keep, for I want to be ready to begin again with her when we start to regain the trust in each other's sincere support, respect and courtesy that has been the foundation of our relationship as two serious seekers and friends. These things take time, for rage to cool, for feelings to mend, for life to move on. Sometimes, part of communication is sitting with stones in our mouths and keeping the forgiving silence that respects the depth of someone's pain and gives the gift of time. Another very tricky thing about communication is that it so centrally uses words. Slithery as pieces of okra, the best of them, words are a poor substitute for concept, but it is the best we humans can do within the veil, shorn of our ability to receive concept communication from mind to mind. Those who are very good communicators often have this intuitive and subconscious ability at their conscious command to a degree, and it enhances their chances of using the clumsy symbols that words are. Even the most intelligent and dedicated communicator uses words which have more or less power for the self, but not the same power for the other self. Consequently, communication on a logical, conscious level is almost bound to be often extremely difficult. Never impossible. 40 That matches my experience of communication over decades of a wide correspondence. We can get better at it, but we never get good enough not to err in hearing or saying. It is a wonderful challenge, to me, to find the most positive, honest and kind way of responding to a request for informer. 455, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts, Shin, Opinion or Counsel. I believe in the sharing of concerns as a healing price. As those of you who say, if there is an experience which is difficult, in that disease or fear of any kind is brought into the conscious mind, the sharing of this concern with another is that which begins the healing process, in that the energies expressing themselves as difficulty have an easier movement through the being when they are freely discussed and shared with another. Thus, the entity with the difficulty is assured at the most basic of levels that it is acceptable to another and that another cares for it and is willing to share with it in the difficulty. 41 This goes back to the self-confidence that allows one to open the heart and let the native love stream through. The truly opened heart often appears childlike because it is blindingly honest, speaking that which it thinks without judgment in an attempt to understand the self as well as other selves. In this configuration, the communication is at its most effective, given that there are those which can accept and communicate in return while hearing those blunt truths that may not be as pleasant as the euphemisms, rationalizations and cliches that surround most timid and tentative communication. 42 Communication at its best is an intertwining and melting together of the mundane, the emotional and the philosophical, the many levels of thing and thought and two personalities being shared back and forth in the kind of liquid made by two minds relating. It is survive, this melding, what entities are doing when they attempt to speak the truth to each other is relating themselves to the other through the area of concern or question. The well truth these entities communicate is in part the truth of themselves and only in part the truth about which the words are speaking. This is how central a part personality and relationship play in the business of seeking to speak truly. 43 Sometimes, we are asked to give someone our opinion, and we know that it really matters to the asker. When we are asked, then the clarity of our communication is in being sure the heart is open, and finding the most positive way to say the truth. Let our truth shine without reservation. There are times to be confrontive and surgical and blunt and honest, because the entity you wish to serve has got to know your point of view. Do not do this unless it is asked of you, but when it is asked of you, in A. 456, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts Compassionate Way Express Yourself in Clear Communication, in Brilliant Blu-ray. 44 It is central to clear communication that we wait to be asked before blazing forth. It is the work of some patience to come to that place where you are willing to wait until you are asked in order to attempt to be of service. This sounds very simple but is very difficult when you feel that you have something to say that will help another. When this feeling hits, there is the urge to share, and we do not say that this is wrong. We simply say that it may not be service to others, for what entities desire they shall ask for, and it is when that other entity asks that the precious gift of service may then be shared. 45 The art of listening through to the end substantially affects communication. Many people are caught by the temptation of listening just until they have heard something that catches their immediate response, then wanting to share that response. This creates a situation where one person is talking, but the other is looking for a chance to re-enter the conversation to share that response, instead of continuing to listen. Part of developing the gift of clear communication with others is in hearing them out. I realize this can be frustrating if we have something to share, but we don't always have to say the things we have to share. It's not always the important thing to the conversation. The rest of that speech we think we already understand may take another turn entirely. We will do better to continue to listen to the end. If you become aware of a situation in which your words are not being heard, then it is that you may ask yourself whether you wish to be heard or whether you wish to allow the other self to express that which that self wishes to express and assume a role of simply listening. In many instances, the appropriate response we would say, metaphysically speaking, is simply to abandon the desire to be heard and become a sounding board that can hear what another self is attempting to say. This yielding up of the inner agenda and the thing to say is a mark of spiritual maturity. It is an iron very difficult to complete, for there is within each self a deep well of desire to be heard by the self, and to be heard by those other selves which have meaning for the self. And yet many times the straightest and shortest distance to clear communication is to become silent, to release the desire to be heard and to accept, temporarily, a role of purely listening. 46, 457, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts. Again and again, we will find silence to be an extraordinarily graceful resource that enhances communication. And if that silence is to heal, it greatly needs the balm of forgiveness, of the self, of the other self, of the blockage between, of the pain of failing. Again and again, we must flee to the heart and seek to rest in the love of the Infinite One, in working with this outer gift of speech with another. If there is a failure of dire communication, for instance, between yourself and another entity, opening the heart involves not only speaking with that person to the full extent of one's capacity to communicate, but also forgiving the other self, yourself, and the situation which arose betwixt the two which did not partake of the open heart. The blockages of each lower chakra are fairly easy to pinpoint, since as the energy is blocked, there is also a feeling tone within one, an uneasiness, which speaks as loudly as any words, and certainly far better than any rationalization of behavior or thinking. 47 It does help, in times of challenged communication, to look at the issues involved, and to look within the self for what energies within the system are being baffled. The rational mind can be of good use when used as the tool of inquiry. The details of energy balance are informative and interesting. They do not, however, amount to half the weight of the intuition and spiritual forces that lie beneath, or beyond, that entire level of speaking and words. Always look to the heart for its truth, find the truth that love's energy brings if we can, for when looked at with eyes of love, even the most difficult truth becomes possible to communicate. The world runs on words. Every grocery we buy, every call we make, every meeting we attend, is fueled by words upon words upon words. Communication is one outer gift we all perforce develop all our lives. It can be a wonderful spiritual price as well as a shared outer gift to pledge the self to communicate even more clearly. I wish us all good fortune with it. Teaching is an outer gift for those of us who desire to be professional teachers. There are books, courses and entire colleges dedicated to teaching the art, and this subchapter is not intended to be the equal of such training tools as those. However, I intend to glance into the role of teacher with those around us, as we are placed again and again, throughout the course of our lives. The following thoughts have been of help to me. Those of you who say, 458, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts. The ideal between teacher and student is a union wherein each shares what each has brought and the other listens in a way that does not distort, and together there is the plaiting of one strand of thought with another and another and another, in a rope or string of new cations and new facets to the sub that both are focused upon. This is the kind of teaching which gives both new strength and a new awareness and a continuing desire for more. 48. Hopefully, we have all had companions at bright times in our lives whose converse with us was of just this type. Know that when you come in contact with all entities, each is teaching each. 49. In this sense, the skill of teaching is not to climb upon the dais and pontificate, but to sit in democratic equality with those with whom we converse, and allow our ears to hear and our hearts to respond. It seems a mighty modest way to frame the job of teaching, but it follows my experience of my own best times of teaching, which have occurred in lively conversation, not one-sidedly. In those times, and in all times of my own experience of counseling and teaching, I have been the one taught, at least as much as the other. The brothers and sisters of sorrow also express this. In teaching, it is the teacher who learns, far more than the student. And so we who are hoping to be of service to you know, paradoxically, that you are already of inestimable service to us, and if there could be one light that held us all that you could see, that would be the physical manifestation of the reality of the situation within your circle and its contour with us at this time. We are one with you. We love you, and all of us love and serve the Creator, and seek the truth. 50. May I say that our small circle has greatly appreciated contact with these beings whose attitude is so uplifting towards greater principles, and so humble in terms of claiming to be an authority. This they specifically refuse to do. They prefer this democracy of teach, learner and learn, teacher. Those of Rider I thought on this point, to learn is the same as to teach unless you are not teaching what you are learning, in which case you have done you, them little good. This understanding should be pondered by your mind slash body slash spirit complex, as it is a distortion which plays a part in your experiences of this nexus. 51, 459, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts. In this day when we are faced with such large amounts of knowledge to attain if we can, we may well be pulled off our areas of expertise quite often. And as we drift into unknown seas, it is very wise of us to admit when we do not know a thing and to become the listener. And even when we think we know for sure, it is well to remain happy to share our opinion and then let that go. It is at base a matter of profound risp, the risp we have for the teacher in the other and ourselves as well as the student and the soul in both. We are not trying to be smarter than each other. We are trying to come upon our truths. Sometimes we can use each other's as compasses, and always as mirrors. Each and every experience of self to self is an experience of holding up the sacred mirror which can be shared in the precious experience of mutuality, which is in some way uniquely possible within the third density working. Each self offers to one a reflection of the one self that one is. So even if it should be the case that the social and experiential nexus in which one relates to another self suggests a certain asymmetry in the relation, such that one is in the role of teacher while the other is in the role of student, even so, it needs to be understood by both parties that in the very measure that one is teacher to another, one is also pupil. 52. As with the gifts of listening and communicating, the art of teaching involves letting our beingness shine for what it is, and letting the beingness of the student shine as well, and allowing non-linear coions to be made that will enhance the flow of communication between the two. The greatest gift that the teacher has to give is the beingness of the teacher. As soon However, as this beingness is contrarian to mere personality which the teacher may claim as its own, it has been lost as a source of inspiration to the student, even though the student may continue to take it as such. There are kinds of energy that co student to teacher, though we find in principle that these kinds are not different than those kinds of energy which prevail from one loved one to another. And just as the lover must be prepared also and equally to be the beloved, so must the teacher be prepared also and equally to be the student. All our fellow seekers in the spiritual world, all of the distant ions which can in the veiled experience seem so important, vanish into utter nothingness, leaving but a full democracy of spirit. One seeks then with all of creation. 53 In the seeking of all creation, we and our fellow seeker are just one seeking portion. I love this image of all of us and all of our processes as part of one. 460, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts, Great Seeking of Planet Earth's Peoples. One thing is sure, students can spot a teacher who is sharing herself as well as herself, and who is willing to listen and learn. Students are well aware, whether teachers are or not, that a great deal, sometimes a majority, of what a teacher brings to teaching is not on the sub that is being taught, for teachers teach first of all by who they are and how they allow entities to come within their gates of acceptance. Those whose teachings of students most are those who allow the students to learn the teacher as well as the teaching, for each is a teacher in that each presents a certain complex of vibrations to the world, and those fundamental vibrations are as clearly perceived by a student as are the words spoken. So that the teacher who has truly been called to be a teacher has a store of being that it is willing to share. This beingness, this way of living and of presenting the self, is a catalyst to the student on a deeper level, shall we say, than the UL sub-matter which has been discussed. 54 Jim McCarty and I used to hold workshops on channeling and aspects of the law of one information at L.L. Research in the 1980s. At one point in this outer-oriented teaching, we realized that, in our own perception, we no longer had anything we really felt the desire to teach except whatever people might pick up by our being and the way we live our common life. Now, we have annual homecoming celebrations at L.L. Research. A great deal of learning takes place on those weekends together, but it is created organically by those who attend. We specifically model the democratic teach, learn, teach situation. Each attendee comes with a story to tell, gifts to share, and topics to pursue. We tell our stories, share our gifts and discuss the topics. Jim and I have archive material to get us started on almost any metaphysical sub. Within discussion, wonderful synchronicities occur, and much learning takes place, quite naturally and spontaneously. Not that we recommend this to replace what other light workers are offering who are teaching excellent workshops and courses. Not at all. It is just that for ourselves, the realization of this teaching of beingness as a legitimate form of teaching has been a revelation, and has revolutionized the way in which we offer ourselves and L.L. Research to the world. The point here is to be fearless and creative in discovering just what our voice as a teacher is. There is no formula for right teaching. There is no formula for the proper way to go about being a student. We would prefer to say that the teacher-student relationship is ephemeral, and is essentially an event that is of the order of an opportunity. It is an opportunity for mutual. 461, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts, Sharing in a way that does not bias in advance the outcome of that sharing. Only teaching which is given without expiation, and openly, is teaching which partakes of this unique and seemingly paradoxical if whereby the student is simultaneously teacher to the teacher. 55 It is a central point to teach without attachment. As a spiritual gift, teaching is a chance to share offer, or a point of view, or both. To require the student to get it is not a good spiritual idea. Drop the seed with love, and move on. As Charlie says, I have shared my discoveries with many people and very few to have the interest or capacity to make their own discoveries. At first this would drive me nuts, but now I am getting used to it and have learned more appropriate ways to plant seeds, planting seeds in a non-linear flower bed, knowing that they have bloomed already, rather than force-feeding, thinking that they will never grow without constant attention. 56. This is a hard attitude to maintain sometimes, for anyone with deeply felt opinions and good things to share. But truth is a seed, and we must be content to let it grow at its own speed. Indeed, sometimes, we cannot even drop that seed, for first, we need to feel that we have been asked to drop that seed of thought. Wise is the teacher who waits for the student to ask to indicate interest in a SERP, a concept or a train of thought, for what the teacher essentially is for the student is a kind of catalyst that bears a weight, a heaviness, a bottom which balances and makes stable for that student the point of delivery for the catalyst given. All are teaching each other, sometimes intentionally, often unintentionally. But when the entity teaching is not self-perceived as a teacher, the teaching that comes to the other is interpreted for the most part by the other as having no weight. It is not a kind of teaching that attracts because it is completely random, each person responding to the other and each teaching each. 57. Having less weight as a teacher is a real blessing in a way, for it frees up both teacher and student. When we think of each other democratically in a teaching environment, I think we are all more liable to learn. When I talk to those who are working with me on some issue, sometimes I am aware that the writer is weighing my words as authoritarian, and if I sense that pedestal going up, I try to create a reality check and encourage the writer to value her own powers of discrimination over anyone's opinion, including my own. However, I rejoice in each chance I have to share the ideas and ideals that are so much a part of my own spiritual journey, and I hope that each of 462, Chapter 13, the Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts us will see all communications with others as teach, learning and learn/teaching opportunities. One more type of teaching needs to be covered in a handbook for spiritual outsiders, for it is fairly common for us. And that is the teaching that goes on during sleep. Some of us have experienced being taught in such classes during sleep, and some of us have experienced being the teachers. Within the prisoners of sleep, we are free of the veil of forgetting, for the most part, and so these things are quite possible. Those of L. Lima say, many there are who accomplish this service while in the sleeping and dreaming state, moving at that time to be of aid to others in a similar state. This is the means by which many healings are accomplished and the means by which many teachings may be presented that will nurture the being when the subconscious mind which has absorbed these teachings releases them in a careful fashion to the conscious mind at various times during the entity's waking experience. 58. If we have not been able to come to some understanding within our waking life, then, ask the question of ourselves as we are going to sleep. And remain alert for our dreams and waking memories of them. Help is everywhere, teachers are as well. Healing just as we are all teachers, we are all healers in potential. Defining what we mean by the word is the first challenge. Those of hat on take it up, starting with medical duos such as we have been used to in our culture. We shall begin with the normally accepted realm of healing as it is experienced within your density, this known as the allopathic method of healing, where the healer assumes the greatest amount of responsibility for the one to be healed and its healing process. You may see this as an Orion from outside of the one to be healed and as some kind of salve upon the wound, the presence of the healer therefore being necessary in order for what is loosely described as the healing process to occur. Now we move to that realm of healing which has just begun to surface in the conscious knowledge of this group, that being the kinter with intelligent infinity, by which the healer offers to the one to be healed the opportunity to accept a new configuration of mind/body/spirit more. 463, Chapter 13, the Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts congruent with that configuration known as health. In this process the healer has no will, but offers itself as an instrument or a channel for the intelligent infinity present in each entity. Between these two types of healing lie many steps. Those seeking to become healers travel this path that joins these two points. At each step along this path the healer does become transformed so that it does press upon itself what you might call the healing process, so that the Indian iron which is old among your peoples of physician, heal thyself, is indeed accomplished. This healing of the one desiring to become a healer does then allow this entity to provide other entities with this same opportunity. As this process continues, as the healer does become what is called healed, or what might be more clearly defined as balanced in its energy centers, and balanced in mind, body and spirit, then it is able to provide this opportunity to other selves. 59 Two distinct kinds of healing are talked about here. One is the kind of medical price that I was brought up to think of as healing, with doors and medicine and perhaps hospitals if we are seriously ill. The other is a kind of mental price which posits health as a state of mind or spirit in which lies balance, love and forgiveness, and claims a higher world's perfumage and form as greater and more powerful than the outer physical illusion. Those of you who say, we see the concept of healing or health having to do fundamentally not with the physical vehicle nor simply with the mind or mental vehicle, but rather we see healing as that which creates a broader or deeper faith. For what is health but the just proportion or balance of energies within the individual self? Health is not simply a matter of sickness and curing sickness. Health has to do with the balance of energies within the self so that the self is tuned, shall we say, as much as can be achieved by the seeker to a continuing awareness of the self as a child of the infinite creator. Healing begins with the realization that love and loving constitute wellness. 60 Love and loving constitute wellness. What a simple concept. And how many levels of meaning that can take. Loving and forgiving ourselves heals. Following the love in our relationships heals life problems and dilemmas and gives us new opportunities for learning and service. And living in the heart, living with love flowing through, is living healthily. All of those meanings stem from that one sentence, a pithy one indeed. Talking about relationships, those of Latwee I note that, 464, chapter 13, the secondary missions, outer gifts. The hope of each entity is to become healed, and healing may be defined as that state wherein the karma is balanced with each soul with whom you come into contact, and your realization of yourself is a realization of yourself as whole, beautiful and a child of the infinite one. 61 This realization is only possible through seeing the self and others with eyes of love. The greatest healing is that love which is at the heart of your being and may be shared at each moment of your existence with each entity you meet. There is no greater magic nor healing than the love, the forgiveness and the compassion for those who walk upon the path of evolution with you. 62 How to generate this atmosphere of love? The first suggestion that comes to my mind is to live in praise and thanksgiving. Easier said than done. In response to a question about the potential of gratitude, those of you who have this to say, you asked about the healing potential of the price of giving praise and thanksgiving to the one creator of us all. We would say that there is tremendous healing potential in this price, and that the potential for healing is in far, far greater than any within this room realizes, as the experience of healing is itself a far broader phenomenon than is generally recognized. For healing reaches out into all parts of the living experience, as it is a process whereby the spiritual entity becomes more and more fully aware of its own potentials and its true nature. It is but the tiniest sliver of a result of this deeper process that may yield the experience of the physical healing. 63 One asp of this spiritual way of looking at health is that illness is seen, in this paradigm, as love that has gone wrong. It is still love energy, for what else is there but love? Therefore, it is peculiarly vulnerable to less distorted thoughts and states of love that can be substituted for the love that has got entangled. The patient who sees himself as ill with blocked or distorted love energy is ripe for healing of a spiritual nature. The less belief in the solidity of illness, the better for the one who wishes spiritual healing. Because the mind and body are so closely linked, they are indeed responsive to love. You may name any emotional or mental complex distortion that has caused illness that you wish, and we say to you that this is love, poorly expressed. But the mind is not closed, and consciousness is as creative as you allow it to be. Consequently, those who, 465, chapter 13, the secondary missions, outer gifts undertake, in healing, the will to health, and a faith that that which has been caused by their own minds' concerns can certainly be turned around, will indeed respond to positive suggestions.